Welcome back to Ready Player None, the only podcast where I desperately try to convert my consumption of media into content, but at least I'm self-aware about it. You join us in our fifth consecutive chapter of Wade being at school, in what I can only hope is decompressed storytelling representing the long dragged out school day. Although ironically enough, Wade's school day passes quickly right up until his final class, which is Latin. This is going to be a fun chapter. So Wade has took Latin because Halliday knew Latin, and he sometimes used Latin words in his games. So clearly Wade is too clever for this class, such that he finds his attention drifting. Wade tells us that while in school he can bring up any book in the school's online library, including Anorak's Almanac. With that said, he'd previously printed out the whole thing using a discarded laser printer and fitted it together in an old three-ring binder. Being able to read it both online and offline has allowed him to memorize every word by heart. Oh no. This is another list chapter, isn't it? Over the past 5 years, I'd worked my way down the entire recommended Gunter reading list. Douglas Adams, Kurt Vonnegut, Neil Stephenson, Richard K. Morgan, Stephen King, Orson Scott Card, Terry Pratchett, Terry Brooks, Bester, Bradbury, Haldeman, Heinlein, Tolkien, Vance, Gibson, Gaiman, Sterling, Moorcock, Scalzi, Zelazny. I'd also watched every single film he referenced in the Almanac. War Games, Ghostbusters, Real Genius, Better Off Dead, Revenge of the Nerds. I rewatched it until I knew every scene by heart. You know, some fans of things don't know every scene of films off by heart because they have better things to do with their time. I devoured each of what Halliday referred to as the Holy Trilogies. Star Wars, original and prequel trilogies in that order, Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, Mad Max, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones. He doesn't have the foresight to recognise the existence of the Star Wars sequel trilogies, but he does cite that Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and subsequent Indiana Jones films didn't exist. List of directors: Cameron, Gilliam, Jackson, Fincher, Kubrick, Lucas, Spielberg, Del Toro, Tarantino, and of course Kevin Smith. Well, of course Kevin Smith. As with Spaced earlier, I'm sure that's just your way of saying your tangents into pop cultural history are just part of the homage. John Hughes mentioned number 3, Klein's favourite, clearly. I studied Monty Python. And not just Holy Grail either. Every single one of their films, albums and books, and every episode of the original BBC series. As XKCD once taught me, being able to quote Monty Python verbatim is surely not keeping their legacy alive, as unexpected, off-the-wall, surreal, absurdist humour would. I wasn't going to cut any corners. I wasn't going to miss something obvious. Somewhere along the way, I started to go overboard. I may, in fact, have started to go a little insane. You don't say. I watched every episode of The Greatest American Hero, Airwolf, The A-Team, Knight Rider, Misfits of Science, and The Muppet Show. What about The Simpsons, you ask? I knew more about Springfield than I knew about my own city. Star Trek? Oh, I did my homework. TOS, TNG, DS9, even Voyager and Enterprise. I gave myself a crash course in 80s Saturday morning cartoons. I learned the name of every last goddamn GoBot and Transformer. Let me just push my glasses up the bridge of my nose here for spelling GoBot without the capital B in the middle. Clearly you know a lot. That's what this book sounds like. Land of the Lost, Thunder of the Barbarian, He-Man, Schoolhouse Rock, G.I. Joe. I knew them all. Because knowing is half the battle! G.I. Joe! He's got anime and live-action Japanese films here as well. He's memorised every last Bill Hicks stand-up routine. Halliday's eclectic mix of 80s music. I watched a lot of YouTube videos of cute geeky girls playing 80s cover tunes on ukuleles. Technically, this wasn't part of my research, but I had a serious cute geeky girls playing ukuleles fetish that I can neither explain nor defend. Consider not mentioning it. Consider that geeky girls may have put up their videos for the music performance, rather than to be ogled at. I wasn't expecting to have to play this card so early. But Ernest Cline did in fact once write a poem in the 90s or early noughties called Nerd Porn Auteur, a slam poem about how all porn he's come across is targeted at beer-swilling, sports bar-dwelling alpha males, and that he'd rather have more nerdy women in porn. Because that's what he wants for all his nerd brethren, submissive women! We return now to our lists in progress. Van Halen, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard and Pink Floyd. Did you know that Midnight Oil was an Australian band with a 1987 hit titled Beds Are Burning? In a passage here about what video games he plays, you'd be amazed how much research you can get done when you have no life whatsoever. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week is a lot of study time. How did that behind the scenes note for writing Ready Player One get in here? So Wade, obsessive reader of Anorak's Almanac, seems to be the first to have noticed a secret message hidden amongst its typeface. Scattered throughout the text of the almanac were a series of marked letters. Each of these letters had a tiny, nearly invisible notch cut into its outline. These letters, once assembled, spell out a limerick which only rhymes in American English. The copper key awaits explorers in a tomb filled with horrors. But you have much to learn if you hope to earn a place among the high scorers. 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 Other obsessive Gunters seem to have discovered this message around the same time Wade did, but only one ever took it to the public. The rest were all wise enough to keep it to themselves. But this loudmouth needed 15 minutes of fame. So all the smart people who keep it to themselves, the Gunters, nicknamed it the Limerick. But even 4 years after its discovery, still no one has found the copper key. Wade's attempts to decipher the Limerick have him gravitate to, as all nerds eventually do, Dungeons and Dragons. The Tomb of Horrors in question is the title of a D&D module from 1978. Now, of course, if anybody else had stumbled across this connection, they hadn't posted publicly about it, so Wade, to his knowledge, is the only person to have made the connection between the title Tomb of Horrors and one of the original Dungeons and Dragons modules written by Gary Gygax himself that clearly nobody else remembers. No one would ever remember one of the original modules written by the creator of the world's most popular role-playing game. So theoretically, the copper key is hidden in a recreation of the Tomb of Horrors somewhere. But according to Gunterpedia, a Gunter wiki... Gunterpedia. It's not on the planet Gygax amongst the other recreations of old D&D modules. So where is the tomb? Well, Wade wanted to be ready for the day when I finally stumbled across the clue that would lead me to the copper key. And then it finally happened, right while I was sitting there daydreaming in Latin class. Cliffhanger! That's where chapter 6 ends. Chapter 7, something may finally happen. This is the most exciting thing to happen in this book since the conception of Ewok fetish pornography. Right then, I've been Gherkin. You can find me on Twitter, @TheLastGherkin, Tumblr, TheLastGherkin, YouTube, TheLastGherkin, where you can watch this as a video with subtitles, and at thelastgherkin.podbean.com for an MP3 download. Till next time, in the comments below, leave your favourite limerick about Ready Player One. Mine is... There once was an author named Klein, who kept his childhood in a shrine. He poured it into a novel and created such waffle, it's a waste of everyone's time. Consider this, Ernest Klein. You're the only person who can hear on this frequency. I'm talking directly into your ear, young man.